This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here at Aptus Accelerate with Raj Verma, COO of Aptus.
Absolute pleasure to be here. By education, I'm a computer science engineer, math major, been associated with the software industry for about 26 years. I started when I was 12, of course. It's been a great run. Prior to coming to Aptus, I had a short tenure at Hortonworks, where I was president and CEO, and a long one at TIBCO, where I was COO. I was part of the executive team that grew the company to over $1 billion, and then was part of the team that sold it to Vista Equity Partners for $4.3 billion in 2014. Stayed on for a couple of years, and then decided to do something more entrepreneurial. Hence, I find myself at Aptus.
Aptus is growing very quickly. It's adding an awful lot of customers at the moment. Similarly, it's adding an awful lot of new technology. We've heard a number of announcements today. How do you square that fast growing with a lot of technology?
I like to call that a first world problem, managing growth. It's a good problem to have, let's just say that. One feeds the other, to be honest. I think the fact that we are growing fast is because we are being innovative and we are pushing the envelope of technology. And that's not for any other which purpose except it's just such a fast evolving field that we find ourselves in. Let me touch upon that a little bit. We get consumed by three-letter acronyms, whether it's a CLM or CPQ or QTC or ABC or what have you. Essentially, the problem that we are helping our customers solve is to get them ready for what I call the service economy, where if you see with the Uberization and the Amazonization of our lives, today is my third child's 10th birthday. Very guilty to not be at home with her. And this morning I got Uber Eats to deliver her favorite pancakes and syrup in a bacon right before she went out to school. And that wouldn't have happened even 3 years ago when my older daughter was growing up and I was missing her birthdays, right? It's how everything is now becoming a service. If you were to be a fly on the wall at any C-suite in any of our prospects or customers, you would realize that one of the seminal discussions or seminal challenges that executive teams face in most of our customers and prospects is how do you now sell this product that you've been selling for decades as a service? And at the core of that transformation is how do you configure that as a service? Then how do you price it? How do you quote it? And then how do you set SLAs to deliver it, which is the CLM aspect of it? And that's really at the heart of what Aptus is enabling. This is not a field where we are paving the cow paths. It's blazing a new trail. We have to continue to innovate at the speed at which the rest of the world is innovating, which even you know is pretty damn fast. That is the reason why you see the speed of innovation that you see at Aptus. This is also a lot of times customer-driven innovations. As you saw in the customer list that we have the who's who of businesses as our clients. They are at the cutting edge of the transformation that the world is going through. They push us to innovate, we deliver, we make the technology stable, and then a lot of the other clients follow suit. That's really what's going on. A lot of products is probably true. However, I do believe that one thing that sometimes gets lost in translation is how deep we are going in each of those product sets. CPQ, for example. We also offer CPQ not only for complex products, but for subscription, for after-sale service, for professional service as well, which was unheard of 18 months ago. Opens up a brand new market for us, which is what helps us grow at the rate that we've been growing, which is upwards of 50% at scale for the last 5 years, which is what our stakeholders, investors are very happy with us about. That's really, from my vantage point, what I see.
When we talk about introducing the new products, Max is a very good example. Introduced last year, but when Kirk was asked earlier about take-up, he was saying it's not a huge number. It's potentially as much as 10% only of the customer base. Part of that is customers understanding what it can do. Part of that is customers getting ready to introduce the technology. How much lag do you end up having as you try to introduce new products between introduction, customer acceptance, and then stability of a product line going forwards?
Depends on product. Max is currently seen as a nice to have rather than must have. Whereas if you took another product, for example, which is, I'm just saying, CPQ for after-sales service, that is seen as a must. Depending on the category of product that we are talking about, so if it's after-sale support or service, that product, the minute you introduce it, it sells like hotcakes, firstly. Most of the time, it sells as a joint development with a customer. We stabilize the product with the customer before we make it generally available to the rest of the customers. There is a certain stability at which the product is pushed out of the door. Then it, of course, gets field hardened with the number of at-bats, as they say in the US, that that product gets and the number of implementations that it gets. As I said, it depends on the category of product. If it's a must-have, then it solidifies a lot quicker, it matures a lot quicker, it becomes a pretty standard product quicker. If it's a nice-to-have, then that cycle is a little longer. And Max right now is at such a bleeding-edge technology level that the customers see it as a nice-to-have. But that said, I'm seeing increasingly over the last 3 to 4 months that a lot of the enterprise are using Max to increase adoption of our technology in terms of how it grows within the organization and gets easily consumed. That is becoming a pretty big focus. The other focus that the C-level that Max seems to gain a lot of traction in is the CFO's Office for Revenue Yield. How it can show insights into revenue that most humans might have missed. Those are the couple of tracks that we are seeing a tremendous amount of traction. It's also unfair to Max to be compared against a pretty robust category of QTC and CLM and e-commerce, which are naturally, in the scheme of things, take precedence over a Max. I'm personally very, very excited about Max. Our customer base is very excited about Max. And I do think that in the next 12 to 18 months, Max will be many times more in revenue and in terms of size than it is today.
You've also introduced Omni today. How many of your customers, as you look across the base, are currently on-premises and how many are cloud? Because one of the attractions of Omni, of course, is that this is a cloud-based solution.
Just to be clear, we are 100% on cloud. What Omni offers is essentially, firstly, it's a platform rather than an application or a set of applications. The second message is it is available on multiple cloud platforms like Force.com, Azure, and in the near future, IBM Cloud. The third is it has the artificial or applied intelligence agent of Max sitting on top of it and its own developer kit, which can expand the platform to connect to the front office or the back office. So that's essentially the positioning of Omni.
One of the interesting things about Omni to me is the deal with IBM in particular not only fills a need for IBM, but they're building a whole practice around this. How much do you look at that and see that as an expansion of what you're doing, and how much of that is simply going to end up being an OEM relationship with IBM?
We have a three-pronged relationship with IBM, so they're a very large customer, they're an investor, and they are a partner. In terms of a customer, as I said, one of our biggest customers, and they're expanding. I was at dinner with them last night. Tremendous team. We have almost 70 people from IBM being represented at this conference. Very excited about that. As an investor, of course, very excited to have them. As a partner, they offer a tremendous amount of value to us, especially in the Watson artificial intelligence area, also in collaboration around blockchain. Naturally, you saw this morning 7,000 patents only on the cloud technology front. They are absolutely pushing the limits of AI and blockchain, and we are benefiting being associated and being a very intimate partner with IBM around the areas of AI and blockchain.
Max, of course, is built on IBM's Watson technology. They have a very well-established artificial intelligence suite of products now that sit around Watson.
Max does use a substantial amount of Watson AI. It is something that we have been collaborating extensively with IBM. And Max is a universal agent, so we aren't going to have replicas of Max for different platforms. It's just not required. I think the partnership with IBM Watson around Max is very key and something that we guys are very excited about.
A year ago, as a company, you were quite cool about blockchain. Now, like everybody else, you've had a look at it. And part of the advantage of blockchain for what you do is, of course, it's now become quite acceptable in supply chains. We're seeing a number of industry solutions coming out. And again, IBM as a partner is very involved in an awful lot of this. Do you see yourself building a blockchain practice, or how do you absorb blockchain into what you already offer?
Blockchain is one of the areas that we are involved in and watching keenly. At the heart of blockchain is essentially a contract. The fact that Aptus started as a contract lifecycle management company, you would assume that there's a lot of traction between the two, hence the interest, hence the investments. In fact, we have now a dedicated team that is looking at how we adopt blockchain to make our customers stay at the cutting edge of what they want to do. We have also partnered with the World Economic Forum here in San Francisco, their innovation center here. And one of the streams that we have partnered with them around is blockchain and how will the adoption of blockchain happen in companies and how do rules or governance or laws or governments need to support the adoption of blockchain. Right from that onto the technology is what we are watching and involved in very, very keenly. All I can say is watch this space for more. I'm not trying to be coy about it. It's just, I think it's such a fast-moving space that the options are unlimited. The problem is more of abundance than scarcity around blockchain. And I think the winner in blockchain adoption would be the company that realizes the most suitable use case for immediate traction in its customer and prospect base. And that, I believe, is our biggest focus.
As you mentioned earlier, one of the founding products for Aptus was about contract management. One of the challenges for blockchain is smart contracts, being able to devolve those contracts into trusted pieces of code that actually people understand, because that at the moment is a challenge. There's a lot of people trying the smart contract space, but they don't really understand how they're bringing it together. What is it that you're going to be able to bring then into this, based on your experience as a company, that will get customers revving it up?
The answer in that is we've got more experience implementing contracts than probably any other company, you know, God's green earth. We are also partnering with some of the most evolved CLM customers in our customer base, partnering with them as to how to use smart contracts in the most effective manner. That is probably the advantage we have over any other company. We have the ability to work with some of the most experienced customers around contract management and see how blockchain can fit their needs going forward.
Raj, thank you very much for your time today.
An absolute pleasure. Have a safe travel back to the United Kingdom.